And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they heard the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach of this name, in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And this man rose up, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And today again, I'm calling all Canadians back to the Bible. If you love the Bible, if you believe that it is truly God's word to man, that therein is the miracle of revelation, God's special word to mankind, then we will want to hear it preached. Sadly, in this land of Canada, preaching is very much out of vogue. There was a time when every community, God's people, heard the preaching of the word. And men and women were brought under the sound of great preaching. I pray that again, here in this country, God will call Canadians back to Bible, textual, expository preaching that will set forth the great truths of the Bible. Are you interested? Well, get to a good Bible preaching church. Find a place where the preacher is on fire, where the Word of God is expounded in a clear fashion, and that Word applied with conviction to your heart. Let's go to ministers, pastors, and preachers and ask them, do you really believe the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover? If the answer is no, well, they're not committed to Bible and they're not committed to Bible preaching. And so I ask you to come back to the Word of God by attending faithful preaching. Today again, we're going to be looking at the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts, the place where the New Testament church was born. Let us take our model from them. Stay tuned as today again, we let the Bible speak.
Know him, and they kept up that preaching all through their very lives. And that's why we have an apostolic church based on the New Testament principle. We must have Christ-focused, Christ-centered preaching. And I pray that we be faithful to that commission, that we do not lose sight of this primary work that we are about as a New Testament church, and that we keep on keeping on preaching the name, the authority, the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, number three, it was doctrinal preaching that got them into trouble. If you look at verse 25, you will see the reference to teaching the people. Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And then again, down in verse 28, it says, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And so they did more than just tell the story of Jesus' life, or the story of his death, or the account of his resurrection. They applied it. They turned those facts and those histories into the great doctrinal truth of the gospel. And there were conclusions and consequences as they preached that very message. And these men were preaching for a verdict. And every preacher should do that. We should always preach for a verdict. What do you think? What do you believe? What are you going to do about it? How is this going to impact your life? Are you going to remain a Jew or a Christian? Are you going to continue on in your old life, or are you going to surrender to the feet of Jesus as the King of your life? This is the doctrine coming in. This is the dogma, the dogmatic one final punch of truth that calls men to act upon the news of the gospel. Now in this, of course, they would have been preaching what we call Christology. All the truths of Jesus, the Son of God, his humanity, his divinity, his deity, his equality with the Father, that he's the mediator of the covenant, his atonement, his substitutionary death, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again, all of these great truths. Now, in Bible school, they try to cram all this doctrine of Christology perhaps into 1 year, 1 year of study. But in reality, it's the work of a lifetime. Indeed, we would need many lifetimes to comprehend it all. And so these men gave themselves to the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Now, there are many in the world today who never hear the name of Jesus. That's hard for us to really conceive in this part of the world. But if you look at the globe, there are many parts, tribes that are barely reached, languages that are barely deciphered, many hundreds of languages that do not have the Bible translated onto them, and there might be trade languages that they have some ability to communicate with the outside world, but there are still many peoples who do not know the name of Jesus. And that's the work of the church. That's the great task that is given us. Then there are also many people who say they know him or know about him. And they say that they know the whole account that Jesus came from heaven, was born in a manger, and lived a very special life, and so on. But if you ask them, could you prove that Jesus is the eternal Son of the eternal God, begotten, not created? Could you prove that? In fact, do you really understand that and believe it? They would probably throw their hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know. And yet they maybe have a history of church going, contact with other Christians. They might have read something of the Bible. But do they really know the Lord Jesus? And that's the great challenge that we have. This requires a very concentrated work, preaching Christ and him crucified in all his fullness to the people around us. That's why we must never stop. Never stop inviting sinners to come. Never stop having sermons that are full of Christ. Never stop, even on radio or whatever means we have, of telling the nation who Jesus really is, because the vast majority do not know. They are ignorant of him. Now, for this, the apostles called prayer meetings. If you go back to chapter 4 and verse 30, you will see that by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, so here they are praying that the name of the Lord Jesus would be made known in the preaching. And you'll see in that verse 31 that after they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So these are the kinds of sermons and preaching that get people into trouble. And we need to pray that God will keep us focused on the Lord Jesus, on the redemption that is in and through his precious blood. Now, I pick up in verse 28, chapter 5, that they did make great emphasis on Jesus' blood, because the religious leaders cried out and intend If you look at the end of verse 28, so that, behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And so part of their doctrine, the part of their focus on preaching Christ, got to his death and his blood shedding. And as they listened in and eavesdropped on the sermons of Peter and the apostles, they heard so much about the blood, the cross, the death, the sacrifice of Jesus, that they were realized that they're trying to bring the guilt of his blood upon us. And so this was the emphasis of their preaching. That brings me to the fact that it was convicting preaching that got them into trouble. The hearers were given direct application. And I go back here to that verse 28, bringing his blood upon us. Now that was applied personally. And you can see how the guilt was setting in. There was a sense, that's us. He's talking about us. We're the ones who crucified Jesus. We're the ones who called out, crucify, crucify him. And the hearers knew that where the apostle was going with that. And they felt the need to shake off this conviction. Oh, it's always good to see sinners uncomfortable when they hear the message of the cross. When a sinner is hardened to the cross, we fear for their souls. And we cannot pray for the comfort of anyone's soul until they repent and plead the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Now in verse 29, you will see that these hearers were made to feel accountable to God. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now you can see the conviction of these preachers. And that conviction in their own souls and in their ministry of preaching, it filtered down in their message. And that conviction became the very conviction of the hearers. Now, in verse 30, the message pointed hearers to the living Christ. He's living. Verse 30, for the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. You thought that was the end of him. You thought that if you cried for his death, that all of this nightmare would be over. No, that's just the beginning. He's alive now. What? You mean to say the one that we cried out, crucified, will come back again? Yes. They were brought to face their accountability to the living Lord Jesus. And you'll see in that verse 30 that they weren't let off the hook. Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. The apostles pointed them to the crucified Savior and their part in it. And this is always a necessary part in gospel preaching, that it was my sin for which the Lord died and was nailed to that tree. Should there have been no one else in the world that needed to be cleansed and saved, Jesus would have come and died on that tree for me. A poet wrote, our sins were the nails that nailed him to that tree, and our hard hearts were the hammers that drove those nails. And you can see this preaching of these apostles, that they brought conviction, accountability, that no man is free from guilt when it comes to the death of Jesus, the Son of God. We are all answerable, and we're answerable to a living Savior. And the message pointed these hearers to the exalted Christ reigning at God's right hand, as you go on into verse 31. Jesus now sits on the throne of glory, But always remember, for the believer, it's a throne of grace. That's the comfort of the child of God. For you and me as Christians tonight, the Lord sits on a throne of grace, and he dispenses mercy. He hears prayer, and he answers the cries of his people. But you will see that his great work on that throne is to give repentance to Israel. What a Savior who can turn the hardened hearts of sinners to repent and turn from their sin. And then every sinner finds that when they turn to the Lord, he turns to them. That's the hope. That's the confidence. And this message also pointed the hearers to the pardoning power of forgiveness of sins, to give repentance of Israel and forgiveness of sins. Peter got to the cross. Peter got to Calvary. Peter told his hearers of the power of that blood to wash away every sin. Let us keep on preaching the power of Jesus' precious blood. And we're told in verse 32, we are his witnesses. We're his witnesses of these things. And of course, the meaning of the word witnesses there is really martyrs. And for this, every one of these disciples laid down their life. Everyone except John. He's the only one who died in old age of more natural causes. The others died a violent death as martyrs for the Lord Jesus. This preaching got them in trouble again and again and again. And it seems in every generation where we preach this gospel, the carnal man don't like it. There's no heart for it. And there needs to be a mighty move of God. And thank God, we're told in verse 32 that our helper is the Holy Spirit. And so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And here is the preacher's hope. While we have an impossible task, a task that is beyond us, a task that is unpopular, a task that the carnal man hates, yet we have the help of God the Holy Spirit, that as we speak this word, the power of the Lord will do its work in every heart. Now you can see that these apostles were unapologetic. They were living witnesses. They were willing martyrs. And some of us have great struggles when it comes to the doctrine of defending the faith. It's called apologetics. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from 1 Peter 3:15, where it talks about every man having an answer to give account of the hope that is within himself. And the word answer there, or reason, is the word apologia, from which we get apologetics. But they were not making apologies. They were not saying, wringing their hands and saying, sorry. No, they were boldly proclaiming this message. And so we have logic on our side, and we have hope on our side. And we're to go forth to preach with meekness and fear. Oh, that's the secret that is laid out here for us in this very passage. And so may the Lord help us, and may the Lord make us to be heralds of this gospel all our days, and may his power rest upon us. Will you pray for that? Will you come to the prayer meetings of the church and pour out your heart and say, oh God, cause the preaching of thy word to be with boldness and power, convincing sinners and leading them to faith in the Lord Jesus. That's the challenge of our work as a church together, as we labor together in the gospel. May the Lord help you and help us all and use us in His kingdom work. Lord, we thank Thee for this commission to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that in His name we may do this work, and by that we pray that we will know heaven's power and help, that there will be conversions in the church, there will be an adding to the church, and that great glory will be to Thy wonderful name. O Lord, we cry out tonight that You will come and revolutionize Thy church, that You will visit her again, and that we will see many drawn to the Savior. O Lord, bless us through this week to come. Keep us as the apple of Thine eye. And now dismiss us with Your blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed now and evermore.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I'm calling all Canadians back to the Bible. There really is no excuse today for Christians not finding good, solid Bible preaching. Since the internet, many churches are webcasting their services online, and you can search for this on your phone, on your computer, your iPad, and there are many, many places. Let me give you a great site. It's called sermonaudio.com. And if you go there on a Sunday, you will see live services of our Free Presbyterian churches across Canada. And I invite you to participate in that. There you will get the best of the best preaching. And it will lead you to a knowledge of the book, a knowledge of the blood of Jesus, and a knowledge of the blessed hope that is ours in Christ. And so I beseech you to give yourself to the preaching of God's Word, to hear those messages that are preached in New Testament fashion, preaching Christ in all His fullness for men in all their need. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.